Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Folks, as you know, I'm broadcasting live from the Insperity Invitational in Woodlands, Texas, Hardbody, Houston. This is the 15th tournament, and I've been broadcasting from every tournament. I was doing my show from 3 days before the very first ball was ever hit in this tournament, way back in 2004. And my very first guest, live in front of me at that moment, that very first time I was on the air in this tournament back in 2004, was quarterback, legendary quarterback Dan Pastorini. He was in the building way back then, and he's back today, 15 years later. Because I think he's been on in the meantime once or twice, but he's here today. Dan is. As I said, he's a legendary quarterback, had a great career with two, three or four teams, was in the Super Bowl, was a Super Bowl winner, and also has, over the years, has reinvented himself. We're going to get him to talk to us about that a little bit. Dan Pastorini, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you back. So do you remember walking in the door to that conference room where I was broadcasting back then, that first day?
You know, I do. I do remember that. And that was, things were a little bit less organized than they are now. It was kind of the first tournament.
And
people were kind of skeptical how this was going to turn out. And it's wonderful to see how this has developed over the last 14 years or 15 years now.
Yeah.
And to what an event it is. And it's really a great event. And they, you know, Insperity does wonderful things to help people, not only in business, but they give back to the community and the golfers that attend the event all participate as well, and they're all very approachable and very fun to be around.
Right. There's no question about that. So I want to talk about your career a little bit. You had a great career with Houston. And came real close to going to the Super Bowl, did you?
Yeah, you know, the years were not as easy as people think. Our first few years here in 1971 to 1973 was kind of a battle. We weren't that good of a football team and, you know, struggling through making it and, you know, getting to where we were in the late 70s with Bum Phillips. But, you know, it was kind of a growth process. In football, it's kind of hard to grow because when you're on bad teams, you kind of get beat up a lot. And we had Sid Gilman take over in 1974, which turned us around and, you know, got us into winning ways and got us some respect. And when Bum Phillips took over in 75, we started winning and winning on a regular basis. Fell short in 76 of the playoffs. And then 78 and 79, you know, we had Earl Campbell and we had a really good offense and a really good defense and a great offensive line and great receivers. And, you know, we were able to play some smart football and control the ball. That was our whole attitude and our approach from the offensive side of the ball because we had good defense. You know, we had a great defense, as a matter of fact, which has three Hall of Famers on it, which Robert Brazil will be inducted this year. We had Elvin Bethea and Curly Kelp, and we knew that if we just didn't put our defense in bad situations, never turn the ball over within our territory, which we did pretty regularly, or not do regularly, and kept them out of bad situations and then took our shots and we had the opportunity. And then we had a guy that could grind the clock away with Earl Campbell. He was an amazing running back and a Hall of Famer himself, which we're, you know, very proud of. And so we had a lot of fun back in 78 and 79, but unfortunately we did fall short. We, you know, the darn team up in Pittsburgh just kind of had our number. We played them two out of three times and they beat us two out of three times.
Yeah. Had you had the replay back then, things might be different, huh?
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because that particular play is the reason why instant replay came into the game. And, you know, unfortunately, I think it's slowed the game down tremendously, which I apologize to the general NFL fans. That was my fault and Mike Renfro's fault. But
you mean because you didn't throw the ball 6 inches more inside so that he could completely, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, have been in bounds? Is that what you're apologizing for?
The instant replay showed he had control of the football, and he had his both feet down, which now they overanalyze things. Where to me, a catch is if you've got control of the ball, your feet come down. That's a catch, no matter what happens when you hit the ground.
I agree.
It's a catch.
I agree with that.
If you hit the ground in the field of play, then it's a fumble.
Yeah.
But nowadays, the ground can't cause the fumble. But if you catch the ball in the air and come down with both feet and don't control it, then it's not a fumble.
I think that's so – yeah, I agree with you.
Catch
I think
either. So
that didn't make any sense. So what would you say is the big difference between football today and in your day 40 years ago?
Money.
Yeah.
Money. Most –
Money for the NFL, or money for the players, or both?
Money for the NFL and money for the players nowadays. Yeah. The bad part is they don't filter that back to any of the older players.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we didn't make the salary that these guys are making.
What was your high salary?
Pardon me?
What was your high salary?
Well, my highest salary was $350,000. At the end of my career, when I was here in Houston in 1977, 78, and 79. And that was, it, for 5 minutes, was the highest quarter or the highest price contract in the NFL.
Right.
Until Bradshaw found out about it, and he had a clause in his contract that he'd be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So,
that lasted for 5 minutes.
I made him richer.
That's funny.
But, you know, that was kind of, we don't, you know what, we didn't really have a good collective bargaining agreement back then, and I was concerned about the future, so I had a lot of it deferred, most of it deferred over 20 years, so I'd set myself up financially for the retirement plan.
Right.
But then when I went to Oakland, Al Davis decided to cut me, and I had a guaranteed contract for the final 3 years upon passing my physical, and he cut me and then decided not to pay me, and then I wasn't able to be picked up by anybody.
Hold on to that thought, Dan.
The end of the career didn't wind up good.
Hold on to that thought. I got to take a quick break. We're going to talk a little bit more with Dan Pastorini and his new venture, not brand new, but a little bit new, that I think you want to hear about. Dan Pastorini and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.